station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, May 17th.
It's my dad's birthday.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow, happy birthday, Brigetta's dad.
I know.
Does he ever listen? He doesn't listen, right?
No, I don't think I want him to listen.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he knows what he has at home.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, well, no, he knows. Yeah. He knows, yeah. They're actually in New York right now. My sister is graduating from college this weekend.
So you guys are celebrating everything this weekend.
Kind of.
Wow,
yeah.
That's nice.
I guess so.
So she finished her 4 years?
She finished
college?
Her 4 years. Uh-huh. Actually, it might have been five. Now that I think about it. Wow. But hey, at least she's done. Yeah. Yeah, she went to Hofstra in New York. So.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, congrats to Sam.
So what is she going to do with her life?
Well, this is what's funny. So as a graduation gift, my parents are sending her to Italy. So, right. So she's supposed to go for 2.5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But Sam's already told me that she's not coming back.
Really?
So, right.
Wow.
So we're supposed to have this big family, you know, get together in July. So that'll be really funny because I don't think she will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's not coming back to the States? Is that what she's saying?
I know
her.
For
how long?
Well, you know, I know her. So as long as her account's full, you know, once my parents put money into her account, she's good,
yeah,
you know,
she's
but then when the account goes empty, then she's going to call home crying and say, bring me back now,
yeah.
You know, you know, I can't blame her. I would do the same thing. I mean, yeah. I've done the same thing in the past, so,
right.
You know.
There's a big difference in age between you two, right?
11 years.
11 years,
yeah.
Right. That's about the same as I have with my brother. He's, with my younger brother, he's 12 years younger, so.
Yeah.
I think those are pretty much accidents, don't you think?
We talk about it. We let her know that.
After so many years,
you
know?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny. But you know what? Even though we're 11 years apart, we still get along great. I mean,
yeah, you're very close.
She's a pain in my side sometimes, but you know, we're really close. We are. I mean,
that's cool.
I got to see her a lot, I'd say, this year. You know, going back and forth to Toronto to the events that I was doing there. Popping in through New York, you know, so I get to see her, you know, quite often this year.
That's nice.
Yeah, so that's good.
Is she happy?
She is happy. She's living in a yoga center. Total hippie, born in the wrong lifetime. I mean, completely wrong
really,
lifetime. Yeah. She should have been born in the 60s. I mean, you've met her, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, man, try and sip on their cacao tea. She doesn't talk like that.
Isn't it different how siblings can be from each other, you know?
Completely. Yeah. And she's like, cosmic yoga is on Friday night. Come talk. Well, or come play yoga while we talk about our other stuff. I don't know. Like, I can't.
Really?
It's just ridiculous. But, I mean, it's funny. I mean, gotta love her.
Is that the way she talks when you talk to her, too?
It depends. Yeah. I usually make fun of her, and I'm like, dude, really? Really? You're just talking like that because you're with the rest of the crowd. Yeah. They do naked yoga. I told you. I walked
really?
In and they had naked yoga going on.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Complete nude. Fully
complete,
nude.
Yeah. They had...
What's the benefit of that?
Apparently, and it's all women, though.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's a praying to the goddess. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's embracing your inner self. And I know it was like 5 p.m. and my flight got in. And so we got in at like 4:30 and she's like, no, we can't walk in yet because they're undressing. Mm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, her room is through the yoga center. So you have to walk through the yoga room in order to get to her room.
Mm.
There's no back door or anything. So I have to just wait. And I'm like, well, I'm a girl, so I don't care.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's naked yoga, Brigetta. The room is sacred.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So we had to go to a cafe down the street and wait for everyone to, like, you know, get dressed. And And I'm thinking to myself, what's really going on in here? Is there like, you know, some orgy thing, yoga orgy? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, people, a demonstration for vibrators and shit.
Could
know,
be. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Pleasure chest parties.
Would not be surprised. They are a very eclectic, interesting group. But, I mean, more power to them.
Yeah.
I will say that I was there one night, and they had a party on, like, the Friday or Saturday night that I was there, and they make kombucha beer, which is really cool because there's a gluten-free, you know, version, which is great. And they had, I don't know what this raw cacao is, but it makes you so high.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's just chocolate.
Right.
But I guess it's, like, such a high form, and it's from Brazil. I drank it because it's just chocolate. I'm like, whatever, it's pure chocolate. No, right. It was like, whoa, this is crazy, trippy. I don't know what's going on. It was weird.
Wow.
So the kombucha beer was good. They have, like, you know, organic food and whatnot. And then they had a panel of people that were up there, and they were talking about feminism and sex and toys and the great, you know, 50 Shades of Grey movement, and right. It was very, I was fascinated. I mean, she was the youngest one there.
Yeah.
I would say most people were my age. I was fascinated by it all. Then the debates turn into arguments, and I'm just standing there like, this is really happening. I want to film this. I want to put this on YouTube, letting everyone know this is what happens here. Like, it was just so, like, another world.
Yeah, it's
crazy,
strange, you know?
Brooklyn, you know, the hipster types. It was,
right.
It was
so she lives in the yoga place?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, only four people do.
What?
Yeah. She's building a herbal garden on the roof.
Wow, how cool.
But that's pretty cool because
so
I'm into that.
Yeah,
we're
both
very
of
similar.
You are into that.
We're very similar. I'm just in the more now,
right.
Like pop culture. This is what's going on in this world, and she's in another planet.
Yeah.
But she's from another planet, so we're okay.
She's a Martian or something.
That's what we used to call her. I used to tell her she was an alien her whole life.
Really? So she probably believes it.
Probably. I mean, she definitely is out there. She's definitely an alien.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I've had an interesting morning, and I'm getting my car fixed, finally, after Calvin Klein hit it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
With the bumper? No, that's
yeah, he knocked my bumper off.
Yeah, that was the
bumper
thing.
Yeah, and then the front was from someone else. So, I'm like, sweet, my whole car is being fixed. I'm
awesome.
Pretty excited.
Yeah.
Gonna get a rental car.
Yeah, is that so? The insurance is handling that?
All of it, yeah. But you just—it just stinks. But I just think it's funny. Like here in LA, you know, your car gets hit and it's Calvin Klein. Like,
yeah.
That's just funny. You know, it's just only in LA, maybe
that's
New York,
true, yeah.
But only in LA.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. There's so many freaking celebrities here. You know.
It's just funny.
Everywhere you go, you see a familiar face, and you go, "Do I know that person?" You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty funny, hilarious story. But yeah, this morning was interesting. So I kind of told you briefly of what happened. And
yeah,
I
let's
think
it's
just an omen of my place, I think, in general. So this is like the fourth or fifth day this has happened. So I come outside and the walkway is, I'm talking like 3 inches full of, I thought it was water days ago. And now I know that it's floating turds everywhere.
Toilet water.
Feces everywhere.
Excrement.
All over my front porch walkway.
Wow.
Pouring out down to the sidewalk, out front, into the house next door.
Oh, man. How disgusting.
So disgusting. So
this is right outside your door?
Right outside my door. And so the other days this has happened this week, of course, you know, I call management and they have someone come out and everything. But I would leave through my balcony. Because I'm just like, yeah. I can't walk out the front door. I'm going to climb over the balcony. Like, that's just disgusting.
Wow.
That's just, oh my God. Anyway.
Did it smell?
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, my God.
And I wasn't quite sure what it was at first because, you know, the first day that it happened, it was only a little bit of water. And I'm going outside and I'm like, what is that? And there's these little white, like, you know, floating specks. And I realize it's toilet paper, like shredded up. And, like, when it dries, it hardens on the sidewalk and you realize it's toilet paper. But at first, you don't know, and you see these floating things, and I realize, oh, my gosh, that's turds. So I thought it was, like, dog turds, you know, like, maybe, you know, from the sidewalk, you know, everyone has dogs in the neighborhood. It's got to be.
Right.
No. There's this whole, like, water thing flowing from the side of the building, like, right in front of my walkway, spewing every – it's the sewage is what it is.
Yeah.
Coming out all over. Oh, my God, it is so disgusting.
Wow.
So today, they're – I sneak out.
I mean, did they notice this shit happening to them?
I mean, what is this? It was ridiculous.
Because it went on for days.
It went on for a couple of days. I mean, they would come, they would clean it out, they'd fix it, and then it would happen again. It's like the pipe would just, like, the cap they put on the pipe isn't strong enough, and it just comes out.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm laughing, blaming the upstairs, thinking, well, I did see, you know, I'm investigating. Like, I'm looking at it. And, like, I'm like, oh, that's definitely not toilet paper. That is definitely paper towel. That's a napkin. And you're like, look. I mean, it sounds so disgusting. Right. But when it's happening, you're, like, investigating, looking at it, not realizing what it is at first, trying to figure it out. And then you realize it's napkins and paper towels and turds.
Whoa.
You know, feces everywhere. So, like, and when it comes to think about it, it sounds so disgusting that you're, like, investigating, looking at it. But you know you would be, too. You know, you'd be getting down because you're not so sure it's a turd at first.
Right.
You know, you're like, what is it? What is it? It's this foreign object all over my front porch. You know what I mean? Now that I know, it sounds ridiculous and totally disgusting, and it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so this whole – so long story short – The fix-it guy brings the upstairs a full case of toilet paper to kind of give them the point. And I think it's funny. I'm like, yeah, all for it.
So you think they were using paper towels?
Well, I could see. I investigated. I did some research.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you
I got down.
Paper towels.
I got down in the ground and I looked at it and it was definitely paper towel. And my girlfriend is like, well, how do you know? What if they like fold up a toilet paper like in a, you know, some people like, twirl it around like it's a big wad of toilet paper. And I'm like, let me explain, because I've investigated. It's been a few days now. So toilet paper kind of sort of shreds out a little bit, you know?
Right.
It kind of like shreds out. And I've seen it wet in, because I know now.
Right.
And so the paper towels stay together, especially if it's like Bounty, that new stuff, or whatever, that new stuff, you know? They stay together. They don't shred up. It just kind of floats. It stays together in this big, you know, thing and floats along.
And it clogs the toilet.
Right.
Too, yeah.
And napkins, part of them shred up and part of them don't. They're like wads, like just there, you know?
Yeah.
So I've done my investigation. So anyway, the upstairs gets so offended that we bring them, I don't do it, that I think it's funny, the maintenance does it, that they throw all the toilet paper all over my front porch, thinking it was me. And I'm like, I have nothing to do with this. I just am upset that my front yawn is like this. So they stick it all in the gate. There's a front gate to my yard. They shove it all in the gate.
Wow.
So this morning, the next door neighbor who's, you know, just redid their whole property and is, he was just like appalled by it. I mean, anyone would be appalled. It's just absolutely disgusting.
Right.
So then there's like a whole entire fight outside. So the couple upstairs comes down, starts yelling at the maintenance guy, like, how dare you put toilet paper up there? We're offended. And I'm like, so you put it in my gate? You know, but I'm just standing there twirling my hair, kind of like, I'm staying out of this. This is funny.
Yeah.
This is flat out funny. I wish I were recording this. This would be hilarious for like Judge Joe Brown or, you know, Dr. Phil or something. This is exactly what's happening.
Glad you didn't take photos though. I mean, my God.
The neighbor took photos. Neighbor took photos and I was like, please text them to me. I just want to post them.
Oh, the toilet paper photos, not the turds.
No, they took photos of it all.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that was my morning. So it was
what a great
quite
morning.
Interesting morning. Yeah.
Wow. To get up to, get up to shit in the morning.
Literally got up to feces and turds. Like, it's great. It's a great morning. And the thing is, I live behind a horse farm. So, like, you weren't sure if the smell is coming from the horse farm or your front lawn.
Right.
I don't know. Which is
so
it?
So there's constantly a smell there? How can you live like that?
Well, I'm not. I'm out. I'm out. Like, bean sprout. I'm out of here. So, I mean, it's just a funny ending to, like, you know, a bad omen, but it's a funny ending to, like, the apartment and all that. So, can't wait to just get out and be out of here in that sense. But, wow. Yeah. Crazy.
Are the other people staying in the apartment or are they moving too?
You know, we were talking about it. One of the girls is leaving. The other guy, don't know yet. And one girl might take over the lease.
Oh,
so,
okay. Cool.
I don't know. But regardless, we got to be out. So.
Okay.
But I'm going on a yoga retreat tomorrow.
So cool. Well, we'll talk about it.
We have
a phone call. Yeah. I don't know if this is a guest, but let's try. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ken Atchevy.
Oh, hi.
Yes,
how are
Ken.
You?
How are you? Thank you for calling in, Ken.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Where are you located?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, you're here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay,
yeah.
That's nice. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you're calling about this morning, and we'll discuss that a little bit. Right.
Well, I'm calling about my novel, The Messiah Matrix, which deals with some secrets kept by the Catholic Church and what's going on in the Vatican today, and which happened to have predicted the election of an Argentine Jesuit pope and the resignation of the previous pope 6 months before it happened.
Wow.
You know what? And it's funny because we had a guest yesterday who wrote something totally different, but it was along the same lines.
Exactly.
It was it was a made up story, but she researched so much that it was based on true facts. And I am so into historical, like I love history, and I love, you know, I'm obsessed with the Borgias.
Right.
You know, and that if you don't know,
me too.
Yeah, if you don't know what the Borgias are, Sam, it's this show that's on, I think Showtime or HBO, I forget which one, but it's about the papacy and just literally what, I mean, the crazy things that happened and so much killing and extortion, and it's just it's insane.
Right. Right. So
one of my Irish friends calls the Catholic Church organized thuggery.
You know what it is? It's exactly how, you know, the mafia got formed. The Borgias is about the first kind of the way the mob was developed in a way. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's.
Yeah. So so are you a writer by profession?
Good. Yeah, I'm a writer. I've been a writer for years. This is like my 20th book, but only my first solo novel.
Oh,
most of my books have been nonfiction and scholarly books.
Oh, wow. So are you like a professor or something?
I was a professor in my first career. I'm a producer manager in my second career, but I used to be a professor of classics and Renaissance literature, so I knew all about the Borgias. And
oh, wow.
Of course, I studied Roman and Greek classics and wrote books about them, and that's what led to the development of the Messiah Matrix.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, how did you become interested in that topic?
You know, I got interested because I was raised in Jesuit schools, Rockhurst High School in Kansas City and Georgetown in Washington. And the Jesuits were always pointing out the resemblances between the Caesars and the story of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it fascinated me. I thought they were just being playful about it. But the more I researched it in recent years and ran into a whole trove of research about it, the more I realized that the Roman Catholic Church was really just the continuation of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire has never really ceased to exist. The ATMs are still in Latin in the Vatican, and that's the language of the place.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that, it's crazy. And so how long did it take you to write this book? And, I mean, is it mostly fact, or is it mostly...
fiction.
Is it
how long did it take you to write?
Yeah, it's a thriller. It took
a couple of years. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's a novel, but you based it on history and things that you've researched. Right?
Hello?
Ken?
We lost him.
Yeah, it sounds like we lost him. Ken?
Oops, maybe he'll call back.
Yeah, he'll call back. Wow.
It's a really cool concept. Yeah, I'm so... I mean, I would think you are, too, into history.
Yeah,
whatnot,
yeah.
So.
I mean, this is very similar to the book we talked about yesterday. You
see,
know?
It's good. I'm glad people are finally unraveling the history's mysteries, in a way, you know?
I know, and it's always cool, you know, because they go and they discover things and things like that, you know?
Right.
I know that Dan Brown just came out with a new book called Inferno. You know who he is?
I did hear about that. Yeah, I did hear about Inferno.
Yeah, so I can't wait to read that one, but... Yeah, I think, I used to read books like that way before, but I think once the Da Vinci Code came out, people became a lot more interested
Absolutely.
In that.
Absolutely, right.
So, wow.
Well, I read a lot back in the day because of the skulls, and my friend was in the movie The Skulls, so there was a lot of research behind it. So I remember reading a bunch of the books that he had read for research, and I thought it was fascinating, and The Knights Templar, and then, you know, everything with... they were talking about with the solar flares and what would happen, and then the whole Colorado kind of conspiracy theories.
Right.
Like the whole Colorado airport and whatnot. There's a whole, I mean, you read about that, right?
Right.
How it's supposed to be an underground bunker.
Yes,
for,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, and it says New World Order, One World on it, and it's just fascinating, you know? So, with secret societies, they fascinate me. The Catholic Church has been one, obviously, that dates back to, I mean, they were the start of it all, basically.
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot of, lies that have been told and whatnot. And I'm Catholic, you know, and I know and I see it. There was a book my father had given me.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Ken's calling back. So, sorry, Ken, are you there?
We've been monitored by the Vatican, and they made us hang up.
I was thinking that.
I think
total
that's
conspiracy
exactly
theory.
What it is, yeah.
Well, I was discussing conspiracy theories while we were waiting for you to call back. And there was a book back in the day called, and I grew up, like I was saying, in Catholic school. There was a book my dad gave me called Don't Know Much About the Bible. Mm. And it was all historical facts that completely contradicted the Bible and what you learned as a Catholic or as a Christian growing up.
Mm,
it was very fascinating. So I find your work and what you've written about and yesterday's guests just absolutely fascinating. And Dan Brown and all of it. So
yeah, this is cool. So you said it took you 2 years to put this together, Ken?
2 or 3 years, yeah. Most of 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that, you know, a big part of writing a novel is really the research part of it all, right?
Yes, it is, and it was, in this case, it's something that happened over the years, but also enhanced by the work of a person I was working with who did a lot of the research, showing some parallels between Augustus and Caesar, and that gave me a thread to begin with.
Right.
And I went back and looked at sources, like a book that was published in 1898 by a man named Alexander Del Mar, called The Worship of Augustus Caesar.
Right.
Talks about the fact that Augustus' ritual and ritual worship was almost identical to the ritual worship that we think of in terms of the Catholic Church that I was raised with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did you grow up? Here in L.A.?
No, I grew up in Kansas City, and where I went to Jesuit school in Louisiana, where I was born.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
And then I went off to Georgetown in Washington for college and more Jesuits, and then to Yale for my PhD.
See, I'm from Baltimore, D.C. area, so I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Love living there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So did you get to travel? Did you travel to Italy to do some research, or could you do it all from where you were?
Yeah, I was a Fulbright professor to the University of Bologna in Italy, and I've probably been to Rome 20 times, and these are the things that are depicted in the story, with a few exceptions, are places that I've been to repeatedly.
Right.
I talk about Caesarea, the ancient harbor created by King Herod II in Israel, and I've never been there, and I'd love to go there, but I did all of that through research.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice thing, is that you get to travel and actually be in the places that you write about, you know, and I think that adds so much to the authenticity of the story, you know, so, yeah.
Well,
so
I think so, because a lot of people have talked about the taste of the food and the smell of the coffee, which I put in all my chapters because I love Italy so much, and Italian things, Italian food, especially the Italian people, the language.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's a beautiful language.
Yeah. Are you going to have the book translated into other languages, too? Like Italian,
yeah,
probably
would
be good.
Into Italian and probably into French.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Germans are starting to buy the book, too, so we may do a German translation.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting because the lady we had yesterday, we had Linda Stassi online that wrote something different. She was saying that when she was shopping her book around, people were scared of it, that she actually had a hard time publishing it, and she's published a lot of things before, so it was a really touchy subject. Did you find the same?
You know, I did. Among some of the publishers who were worried about it, you know, what it was saying, and then it turned out that exactly what I predicted, the resignation of a pope because of secrets inside the Vatican, and then the replacement of him by a Jesuit, which was unheard of, the first Jesuit in history ever elected pope, and
right.
The book even predicts that it's an Argentine Jesuit. And for various reasons, I just went with a small British publisher called Imprimatur Britannia that loved the vision of it and loved the idea that Christianity was more than its literal story. It was about inner spirituality instead of just the, you know, the rules and organization of the church that obviously has been in disarray for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sounds pretty good. I mean, I'm definitely going to get this. I wish we'd gotten a copy, but I don't mind buying one.
Yeah.
I love this stuff. And the book is
I'd love to send you a copy.
Okay. We'll let you know where we are. Sounds good. The Messiah Matrix, Kenneth, is it Achity?
Yes.
Okay. Ken Achity, the book is available everywhere, I would imagine. Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all these places?
Yeah, and the website is messiahmatrix.com.
Right, and there's plenty of information here. There's blog and interviews and so forth, so you guys can get a lot of background on the book as well. And I see it's available on Kindle and paperback, so this is awesome. Ken, thank you so much for introducing us to this. And I'm looking forward to reading this. So all the best to you and congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sure. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Yeah, I find that so fascinating, and it is a touchy subject. I mean, it's funny because, you know, basically the Catholic Church ruled the world for years. People don't realize how, you know, what they did.
And they still have a lot of influence, which is very interesting, you know, in some places in the world. Wow.
Absolutely, it's incredible the influence they have. And even what they have on lockdown over there in the Vatican itself, I mean, so many of the world's mysteries and things unknown are locked in that Vatican.
Right, that's I think it sparks people's imagination to write books about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, just to get into the book, you know, area where they keep all the books downstairs there, I mean, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch a little bit in the movie of, you know, one of the Dan Brown movies.
Right,
when they get trapped down there and, like...
Yeah, that's angels and demons, I think.
Yeah, and the air, the oxygen and all that stuff. Right. I think it would be fascinating just to be down there and just look through all the archives. Yeah. But, you know, they'd never
let
you.
They've got, like, catacombs and stuff there, you know? I mean, it's...
Incredible.
Yeah.
Areas that we could never... And the secret, you know, passageways they have and whatnot. I think it's just fascinating. I really do.
It really is. If you like adventures and stuff, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I'll pick up both of these books. I'll have something to read. And
I want to read it. Hopefully they'll send it to us because I absolutely want to read it.
I know. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So, well, it's good that we got him on the line and introduced to this book. So you started telling me something about your aunt or some. What did you... about someone.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I heard my aunt or something, I think, right before he called in. But it's probably doesn't have to do with that.
Yeah, I have no idea what I was saying. I don't know what goes through my brain half the time.
Yeah,
it flies in and flies out.
I know. It's like that too, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't remember shit. You
know? That's why I'm like, you know, they call me the busy bee. It like buzzes in and buzzes out. I have no idea. And then it'll hit me later on, and I'm like, oh, that's what I was going to say. Oh, I know. I'm going on a yoga retreat this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Where?
In Ojai.
Oh, really?
I've never been to Ojai.
I hear it's very nice.
That's what I've heard. I heard it's very phenomenal, beautiful, spiritual. It's a vortex and all kinds of things. So we'll see. I'm really excited. I have to be there tomorrow by 7:30 a.m.
Wow.
So that means I'm leaving at 5:30 a.m., I guess. I know. There's a morning tea. It's all Ayurveda because, you know, I'm still in the Ayurveda yoga program. So I only have, I'm like halfway through, sort of. So I need 100 more hours.
Really?
So I'm going tomorrow to get the rest of my hours and stuff, or a portion of them. So yeah, we're doing Ayurveda tea in the morning, and then we have yoga pretty much all day long, and then we have lectures and whatnot. And anyone can come check it out. But if anyone wants to come, you can go to dancingshiva.com, and you can sign up for the classes and whatnot. I know that I get to go because I'm in the course.
So yoga all day, huh?
All day.
Wow.
All day yoga and Ayurveda. And it's cool because they said that we're eating lunches outside in nature. So it's all organic. And I think it'd be fun to sit outside and like just kind of relax.
It would
be
cool. I'd like to try that sometimes, you know, all that kind of food and stuff. Because I always say no, no, no. But maybe you should try it, you know, and see what it's like.
And I'm always saying yes, yes, yes. And then I'm always the one. What? Anyway, today?
I mean with food, you know. Often I'll say no, 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 you know, and or yoga and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to try it. It sounds fascinating to me. I don't know.
Oh, you have to. And we have those Moksha yoga coupon things. You might as well go.
Yeah.
I haven't gone yet either, so I want to talk. But I'm going to go do that tomorrow, and it'll be really fun. And we have lectures from like 2 to 6 in the afternoon. But it's from some really well-known yogis, so I think it'll be really great. I'm really excited about it.
I know, you're really into it now, so that's good.
Yeah, and I want to go back to juicing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a juicer. Oh, I didn't get the juicer, but my other half got the juicer. So I'm going to say we got the juicer because I get to juice now. So, after lots of research and whatnot, it's a slow juicer. I recommend it. I say do it because you can make your own juices. I mean, why pay $300 for juicing, you know, for a three-day program or a four-day program? You know, you can see the Groupons and whatnot. You can get them probably for a little cheaper. But why pay that? Why not get your own juicer and do it yourself?
That's true.
You know?
$300 for a juicer?
I'm saying to buy juicing, if you were to sign up for a program.
Oh, I see. You buy it.
If you're doing like a 3 or 4 day juice cleanse, you're paying $300 or $400.
Wow.
You might as well go buy the juicer for $300.
Right, exactly.
And do it yourself.
Yeah.
Given I didn't realize how many vegetables and how much fruit goes into one glass of juice.
A lot, huh?
It's ridiculous. I mean, at least for me, like the fruit juice part, when you're making the fruit juice and you're, because what it does is it squeezes all the juice out into one cup, and then the other area, it dumps all the hard parts, like plops it into like another cup.
Right.
So if you're if it's fruit, I don't mind reusing it. So what I did is in the Vitamix, we chopped up almonds or whatever, cashews, and I made a cashew crust. I poured almond milk in it. So it's all raw.
Right.
And then I took all the raw leftover like fruit stuff and dumped it in it. And I baked it.
Really?
And we had a raw pie.
Wow.
You know how cool it was? It was amazing. It was so good.
It tasted good.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I had the raw juice all day long. But now I like want it. And now that I've gone back to eating, my stomach's not agreeing as much. It's incredible. It's you get so cleaned out and you get such fresh, pure greens and vitamins from it that once you start eating other food, it doesn't agree as much with you anymore.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing to be healthy. You know, I mean, I definitely go for that.
Right.
You know? I'm not one myself. I mean, you know, but I don't eat junk, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll have some fast food and stuff. But for the most part, you know, I don't eat a lot of junk and things like that. But I'm also not into raw foods and that. But, you know, then again, I don't know. I've got to try it.
Right.
You know, I've got to try at least once and see what it's like.
Once you start, you can't stop.
I know. So, well, we're supposed to have another guest calling in. So they'll probably call in any minute because I know they confirmed.
Right.
And that would be amazing. Did we give out the website for Ken? I guess we did.
We did. TheMessiahMatrix.com, correct?
Right. TheMessiahMatrix.com. Yeah. You guys can check it out.
You know what I'm really excited about? The San Diego raffle is tomorrow. So I may win a house.
Really? Oh, yeah. Is that thing that we were talking to the guy about?
We had SoCal raffle on.
Right.
This one's a San Diego one.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's one that's down there.
They're still giving away a house, huh?
They're giving away a house, $4 million house. They're giving away money prizes. They're giving away a car. So we find out tomorrow.
Right. But the donation is $500, isn't it?
No, $150.
$150?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's not too bad.
I definitely bought one ticket. I can't remember if I bought two or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would
regardless, it's for the Ronald McDonald House. That one was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the one here, this is not till, I think, in June. Mm. And that's for, actually, you guys can still go and buy that, the SoCalRaffle.com. Right. You should buy a ticket.
Yeah.
It's only $150. This one goes to Special Olympics, the one here in Sherman Oaks. But that's also a $4 million home.
Mm.
You can win $500 up to $20,000. And, like, several people win it. They pull prizes, like, almost every week. And there's a car and all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy a ticket for that, too.
What you should buy tickets for is the Powerball jackpot. Did you hear about this one? It's reached $550 million.
What?
Regina.
No.
Yeah. Would you do with so much money?
I would do many things with all that money.
Yeah. But you still couldn't go through it all. Doesn't matter
what. No, but I would help the world in many more ways than one.
That's true.
I would.
It's $500 million, man.
I would start several companies. I would help children in Africa. I'm kidding. I'd help our country first. We need the help. All the help we need.
Yeah, but, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, help.
I would. You know what I would do? I would buy a ticket to Mars. Can you believe that? First of all, I just want to talk about that for a minute. That is just crazy.
It really is.
The amount of money that people are literally, I don't remember how many tickets were bought, but quite a few were bought. A couple thousand were bought already. A one-way ticket to Mars, you can never come back.
Right. You can't come back because
now,
we were talking about this because it changes your body.
Now, do you really believe you're going to Mars? What if you're going into a, you know, firing range? You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
They load you onto this plane that looks like a plane from the outside and really on the inside. It's like something that the German Nazis would have done back in the day. You go inside this plane and one by one, you're shot. But you know what? You wouldn't know because you've already said your goodbyes to everybody on the planet. Because everyone thinks you're gone. You're not coming back. You would have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have a clue.
Right.
Your family wouldn't have a clue.
So that's what you think about?
I'm thinking conspiracy. Yes, this is what my brain thinks
really?
About. This is what goes through my head. Yes. Absolutely. But think about it for a minute, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of crazy.
I know.
It's just like that movie. God, I just watched that movie, and it was this... Oh God, I can't think of what it was called, and now I can't make the reference because unless you've seen it, you wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But it's a brand new movie that's out. It's with Tom Hanks, and it came out last December, and it was about different paths and different lives. Remember I was telling you?
Yeah, Atlas.
Yes.
Yeah, you told us about that.
But there's a part in the film. This we got interrupted. I think someone called at that time. There's a part in the film where there's this Asian lady, and she's mm-hmm. way in the future, and they were made to make everyone happy. They were born and bred to work in a cafe to make everyone happy. And every 3 or 4 years, they were told that they were passing on to another lifetime. So they were so excited to rise above. Mm-hmm. And they go in, and they go in this room, and they take a nail gun and shoot it through their neck and kill them.
Oh, God.
Because they've been around for too long.
Right.
So it's kind of like living in this fantasy world. Like, you're bred to please people, and then you think you're going to a higher place, and they kill you. Well, you think you're going to Mars, and what's really happening?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. What's interesting is the people that can afford it are the ones that are gone.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
All right. We have another phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. It's Lulu Cerrone.
Yes,
hi.
Lulu. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, of course.
Where are you located? Are you here in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm actually... the Archer School for Girls in Brentwood.
Oh, I
awesome.
See. Okay, sounds good. The Archer School for Girls in Brentwood. So, now we were supposed to talk to you about a month ago before you did your walk and everything, but why don't you tell us a little bit about this, what it is that you do, and so we can make our listeners more aware of what is available.
Awesome. Well, I started Lemonade Warriors to inspire kids to make giving part of their social life. And I do this through throwing philanthroparties, as I call them, which are basically parties with a purpose. And basically, I could turn any sort of event into a philanthroparty with just a small little giving twist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite philanthroparties that I do every year is my annual water walk.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what I do for that is I usually throw it around my birthday, and I rally up my class, and we carry jugs of water down Ventura Boulevard, which is a really busy street,
mm-hmm.
to raise awareness for the water crisis in Africa and to kind of feel what the girls in Africa have to do every day. And then afterwards, we have a huge party. Everyone brings donations instead of birthday presents, and then we collect all those donations and put them towards building wells in Africa.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's so much fun. It ends up being the social event of the year. And, yeah, this year we had an amazing time.
Sounds good.
Wow, that is just incredible. And wait, how old are you?
Yeah, you're in eighth grade, right?
I'm in eighth grade, yeah. I just turned 14.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Amazing, amazing. So, I mean...
Thank you.
So, what made you decide you're going to do this instead of going outside and, you know, and or getting on Facebook so much and things like that? What what made you decide that you're going to do something like this for other people?
Well, when I was 10, the earthquake in Haiti hit. Mm-hmm. And it was really the first time I connected deeply to a cause. And I just got tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat and this really, really strong need to help. And so I rallied up my class and I decided to take a simple lemonade stand, since it was really the only fundraiser I knew how to do at the time. I was in fifth grade about. And I decided to turn it into a lemonade boys versus girls war. And the people in my class had so much fun. We were throwing lemonade stands all over town, the boys and the girls trying to raise the most money. And by the end of about 2 weeks, we raised around $4,000. And everyone kept begging for me to throw more events like this.
Right.
And so I created Lemonade Warriors to really keep doing really fun social activities with my friends and just giving back and doing it in the most fun possible way.
Oh,
wow, that's awesome. And you've raised how much money so far?
So far, we've raised a bit over $60,000.
That is incredible.
Wow.
That is absolutely...
yeah. Over how long a period?
We started after the Haiti earthquake, so it's been around 3 years.
3 years, okay.
Wow,
that's quite a bit of money, and that's good for you. So, did they start sending the money over to Africa, or are they still waiting for more money?
Yeah, well, I work really closely with a nonprofit organization called Blood Water Mission, and they're really great. They are the ones who go to Africa and build wells and teach people in Africa how to use the wells and maintain them if they break. And so I've developed a really close relationship with them, and I've been donating money to them from all my events ever since about sixth grade. They're really amazing. And I'm actually in the process of becoming my own nonprofit. But right now, I donate all my money to them.
Yeah. That is just absolutely incredible. Think of like what you've accomplished so far in only 14 years of your life and in the past 3 years, more than people have accomplished in, I'd say, 30 or 40 years in their life. What do you want to be when you grow up? And are you going to continue working in and helping other people and with developing your own charities, or where do you see yourself in like 5 years, 10 years?
I definitely want to keep doing philanthropy as I grow up, hopefully start a huge nonprofit one day. And I'm actually going to Africa this summer, so I'm hoping to identify a project there that I'm going to keep doing and keep pursuing. And I definitely want to carry on philanthropy.
Wow.
Sounds good.
I think it's incredible.
I know. Now,
Thank you.
Do you see what they have here in the press releases? You inspired a Mattel doll?
Yeah, actually, I started working with Mattel pretty recently. Uh-huh. They saw what I was doing and just invited me into their community to spread my message with their fans and just created this amazing platform. Mm-hmm. And we just started working together. Our campaign called Ghouls Helping Ghouls launched about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been really great so far. They even created a character called Bulu Cerrone after me. And she kind of spreads the message of philanthropy parties and giving back. And I've had such an amazing time working with them. I've learned so much. And this campaign's going to continue for a while, too.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, honestly.
This is amazing.
Thank you so much.
You are such an inspiration. I think this is great. And I hope other people learn from you and follow in your footsteps, whether they're your age or beyond. Because I think you are, honestly, you're a role model for everyone.
Right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Definitely, yeah. Now, how often do you do those walks on Ventura Boulevard? Is that a yearly thing?
Yeah, well, my water walks happen once a year. I've been doing them for 3 years. But I do philanthropy parties all the time. I know a bunch of little kids who I help do philanthropy parties, too. And through Ghouls Helping Ghouls, I've inspired more of a global audience to start throwing their own philanthropy parties. So these events go on a lot, but the water walk is like my big one that I do only once a year.
Amazing.
Wow.
Now, where can people find out more information? Do you have a website or something where people can read more up on it?
Yeah, you can go to my blog, which is lemonadewarriors.com, or you could also go to the Ghouls Helping Ghouls site, and there's everything on there that you need to throw your very own philanthropy party. And also you could apply your philanthropy party to win a scholarship, as we call it. I'm giving out 5 grants of $1,000 that will be donated to the charity of the person in one's choice if they just throw a philanthropy party and share their idea with me.
Sounds
so you can go to either of those sites to kind of figure out more about it.
Right.
Your site is so cute, too, by the way. It is adorable.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your parents are elated. They were elated that that they have creative daughter, who's not into...
They helped me a lot. My mom really helped manage my time with all this school stuff and extracurricular, but it all works out.
I was going to say, how do you balance it all? That's got to be really hard.
It is pretty hard. I have a bunch of other passions, too. I'm really interested in music and acting, and I'm always doing stuff after school. But, yeah, my mom really just helps me get my head around things, and she helps me with a lot of the work and just manage my time. And then I devote, about a few hours each weekend to Lemonade Warriors, but really just kind of small periods throughout the week. But, yeah, it's actually not very hard to balance everything out, even though it seems like it might be.
You know what, too? The next deal you make, you should make the fact that if they're going to create a character on you, that you have to be the voice. And there comes in your acting.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating. Lulu Cerrone, everybody check her out and, help her out with the cause, because I think it's an amazing cause.
Mm-hmm.
And, Africa, a lot of kids are growing up there with no food, no water, no anything. And there's a lot of disease and illnesses going on there. So amazing. Well, Lulu, thank you so much. We'll let you go back to class. And,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And all the best to you. Good luck.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aw. She's so cute.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
14 years old.
14. You know? I mean, and making such a huge difference.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Every dollar counts. Because you think these kids have, yeah. more than $10 to really give. They're going to give their allowance when they're marching. And I mean, given their parents are helping too, but $60,000 they yeah. raised. And I mean, I know it's 3 years, but that's a lot,
it
you know,
really is.
To be her age and to start something like this. It's a whole movement. It's
right.
incredible. And Monster High, I don't know if you realize how big that is. That's mm. it's huge. I
really?
Mean, that's like the newest thing. It's like Dora the Explorer, you know, like,
right.
And Monster High is the newest thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Everyone loves Monster High. And they have the dolls and they have the cartoon and all that that's out. So it's a huge deal. The fact
so this
that,
is a doll of her in the Monster
yeah,
High.
Yeah, if you on her site,
line.
If you go to LemonadeWarriors.com, I'm looking at it right now. It's Boo-Loo Cerone because Monster High is all about monsters.
Right.
So that's why she's keeping it. And they call it the Skullership.
Oh,
so like
okay.
skull, scholarship,
right.
which is really cute, I think. And just kind of staying with the whole theme of the monster, Monster High and whatnot. But
right.
I think it's just, I mean, what a phenomenal kid.
Mm.
I mean, can you imagine that being your kid, like doing
yeah.
all that? I mean,
I know.
Wow.
I'm proud of my kid.
Yeah. It's just incredible. And she's gorgeous, too. If you look on her site, she's really,
oh, really
cute. Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So we started talking about the Powerball, about
oh, yeah,
the money.
Powerball. Uh-huh.
And I don't remember where I interrupted you exactly, but, you know, talking about $600 million, man. And, you know, I mean, even if you have to split it with five people, six people, it's still, I mean, it's not just a life-changing
right.
thing. It's life-changing for a lot of people around you, you know?
Right.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
But, of course, they're saying you have better chances to be hit by lightning.
Well, someone's got to win it.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. When is the drawing?
Or
when is the...
Probably this weekend, huh?
Well, I'm going to sign up then.
Yeah.
I just want to say really quick, I'm looking on her site again, and it says, $1 equals one pack of gum or 1 year of clean water in Africa. Just a dollar.
Wow.
And that's how much a dollar goes.
Really?
A dollar equals a soda or three meals for a family. A dollar equals a lollipop or three people cured of malaria.
Wow.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And
see,
that's
what we would do probably if we want something like this. You know, I mean, at a certain point you go, you know, I can't spend on myself anymore. I got to start helping people out and stuff.
I would,
you know?
Yeah.
But that kind of money, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would help with all kinds of things if I had that. I mean, my list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come
help
on
help everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you care who won American Idol?
I didn't watch it, so no,
yeah.
But we might as well talk about it.
And then, no, I don't care. I'm just closing the page down. I just wanted to bring it up and let you know that I really don't care.
I watch The Voice.
Yeah, you like The Voice?
Yeah, I like The Voice.
Yeah.
American Idol, I mean, I think it's phenomenal and great that they discover all these new amazing people out there. But it's been on for so long that
yeah,
I just don't really care anymore.
TV fatigue, you know?
Right.
It's like, I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not really my thing. But The Voice I really do like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hmm. Anyway.
Okay. Is Christina still on that show? Christina Aguilera?
No, it's Shakira, who I love Shakira.
Right. Do you?
She's gorgeous. She's funny. I like her even more now, looking at her personality and watching her. It's just great. She really is. She's so cute. She really likes to help people. And I just really enjoy the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great group of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's still a lot to talk about, but we're out of time. I'm so sad, Brigetta.
I know.
I'm really sad, man. I've been, like, down for the past couple days, you know? I mean,
I
it's
know.
Like we've gotten used to each other a year and a half.
I know.
And I want to thank you so much, you know? I mean, it's just you've made the show so much better.
Thank you.
Improved it. And
thank you.
Yeah, help us get a lot of listeners and stuff, you know.
Thanks.
So I'm really, you know, I mean, I'm really happy for you. I'm hopeful for you. I know it's new beginnings for you.
Yeah, it's scary.
And it is scary, you know, but often it's like you look back and you go, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when we first found out they were getting rid of us at the other building.
Right.
You know, and I was like really pissed and it was hard for me to find a new place.
Right.
And I was constantly down and stuff. But then I remembered it's always for the best, you
right.
know. I mean, and then we ended up finding a nicer place,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think it always works out like that, you know. And you're always going to stay in the history of the station. People
Thank
can
you.
Always listen to our archives and past shows. And we'll always have Brigetta in our in our hearts.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
I know.
So, okay, everyone. Well, stay tuned. I'll keep you posted on Facebook and everything on what's going on.
Well, I want to say farewell to all the fans out there. And thanks for listening for the past year and a half. It's been great. Wonderful time. And you guys can always stay tuned on my Facebook or my Twitter, Real Bruschetta, and see what I'm up to. And I have no idea what I'm up to yet. But
right.
If you stay on my Twitter, you know I update all the time. So
yeah,
you guys can,
and you're always doing something.
Always something. And I want to say thanks, everyone, for listening and being there and being supportive and whatnot. So
right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Bye, Bruschetta, and have a great rest of your life.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.